We're on page.
Recording in progress.
Okay, we have here Alan Gross is here.
526.
Okay. Bismar Samachat, we're at the last psukim. The last psukim, we want to finish this up today. Harp psukim, pasuk yud. There are many perushim. There are many different perushim as to how to understand these psukim. Okay. And pasuk yud is moyav sirach. I read the psukim moyav sirach. See, moyav is a basin for my feet. Al edoim ash mechnali, upon edoim I will cast my shoes. Olai up to me pileshes his ro'oi. The word his ro'oi is like they will be my friend. They will be attached. They will be connected to me. Over here we are describing three mortal enemies of the Jewish people. Moav, Edom, and Peleshes. And all three of these nations are going to become subdued under the authority of the Jewish people. And we describe the relationship that Klal Yisrael is going to have with these three nations with different terms. When it comes to Moav, we're calling Moav being the Sir Rachatzi. Okay, we have to explain exactly what this means, different interpretations, what it means over here, what this means. But again, the gist over here is that Moav is going to be subjugated. They're going to be humbled. They're going to be conquered by the Jewish people. And the term of describing Moav's subjugation is with the term Sir Rachatzi, a basin for washing. Okay, we'll explain. Al Edom Ashlich Nali, I'm going to step on them. I will throw my feet, my shoes. Nali is my shoes. I'll throw them on Edom, and Peleshes his ro'oi. Now I told you it means to be like a rea, friend, but there are many different interpretations. Let's right away. One to look at. Completely different. Okay, to break is to shatter. So let's just do this passage independently. Let's do this pasuk independently, page 528. 528 Mizmor Samach. Let's look at the mitzvah seer. Verse seer, there's a pot. Nali Ashuz, Miloshan Manul, Ashuh, also Liskor Boy. Now he learns over here a lock. Nali is a lock. Okay, the mitzvah stuff does not say, I said it was a shoe. We'll see that in a few moments. But over here he learns that it means a lock. A Manul is a lock. Asur Liskor to go lock up. Kimo, Manulov Uvrichov. A lock and a bar, a crossbar to keep the door shut. You don't see the return of Leimar. Chavle varzel hasoigrim esaregel, and over here, like chains, chains that keep a person, foot chains that keep a person locked up. Some type of like a brace.
Leg irons.
So they go irons, leg irons. Okay. Yeah. Olayim mitzudei sin bavuri his ro'oi. Miloshon tirua. Tirua means to shout. Let's see the mitzudei David. Mitzudei David, pasik yud, 520 at the very, very bottom. Moyav sirachatzi, return to Leimar. Se'i mohem kol tashmishai kiritzoini, kikidero hamuchon lirchoitzboi. According to the mitzudei, David over here is saying this, I'm going to conquer Moav. I'm going to use them. I'm going to make them into my slaves. I will do with them whatever I want. Whatever I need, get me a cup of coffee. Go and go to the store for me. It'll be like it's an expression that we're not familiar with. It's just like you have a pot. A pot you use for multiple purposes. You cook in the pot. If there's a leak in the house, you put the pot where the leak is so the house shouldn't get dirty. If there's something that's disgusting on the floor, you take the pot, you turn it upside down to cover the guard, to cover some dirt, even a dead mouse. Muksa. So what do? You take a pot and you cover the mouse. You turn it upside down. Again, it's a leak. If you want to cook something, you want to go collecting on Purim. So you need a pushka. So you take the pot and you go out collecting. You shake the pot to make noise. A pot is a multi-purpose object. We today, Baruch Hashem, live in an affluent society. We don't look at it like that. We look at a pot. A pot doesn't leave the kitchen. If you take the pot out of the kitchen, your mother or your wife will kill you. We leave the pots in the kitchen. But in ancient times, a pot is a multi-purpose utensil. You use a pot for everything you can. A shtender. You need a shtender in shul, a tabletop shtender, so you take the shul, the pot. and you put the top. You're Tisha B'Av, you need to go sit on the ground and you take the pot to shul. A pot is a wonderful thing. You use a pot for everything. What don't you use the pot for? Okay, this sounds silly, crazy, because like I told you, we Baruch Hashem.
Be a weapon
also. You could throw it at someone. You can be
triggers.
Use it as a musical instrument. Okay, you take it and you take a spoon and you bang on it, you make music out of it. It's an incredible thing, a pot. You can use it for everything you could imagine. Again, today you tell this to someone, they look at you like you're from Mars. What are you talking about? Because Baruch Hashem, we live in an affluent society and we have special utensils for everything. But the Metzudus is going in much simpler times. And he learns the Pasuk Moav. Seer, you are like Rachatzi, you are a Ritzon Olamar, Es Imam Kol Tash Mishai, Ki Ritzoni. Now it says Kikidero, like a pot, Hamuchon Lirchoitz Boy. Another use of a pot. You want to take a bath. So you need water. So you use the water in the pot to bathe yourself. So just like a pot you use to bathe yourself, and that's just one example of 100 different usages of a pot. That's what David is saying, I'm going to do to Moav. Moav, you are my slaves. You're going to be designated to do all the garbage, all the dirty work. Whatever we need, someone to pick up the garbage, someone to do construction, someone to wake us up in the morning.
Nobody talks about a pot today except the type that smokes.
I told you, pot today is hard for us to appreciate. But in the time of Chazal, a pot was a mashal, a dugma of a multi-purpose utensil. Okay, next. Ashlich now.
What's the date? 528.
528.
Exactly.
That's the enemy comes to me. Now I am using the.
Ah, so you're saying an idea is that it's Nisabachu, that when Nebuchadnezzar came to attack, it was called a Sir Nafuach. They were coming to us, a steaming pot. And now in the Hapachu, we're going to take that pot and we're going to use it as for the garbage, a chamber pot. We're going to use it for whatever we want. Excellent.
That's his birth comes from Moab, from Ruth Moab.
Oh, David comes from Moab. Moab, Ruth Moab.
They washed him in the pot. And when he was a baby.
Yeah, they washed him in the pot. Aha, so now I'm going to make that nation into... Okay, I hear what you're saying. You use a pot to bathe. It's true, and that's what it says over here. Okay, it's a little difficult. You have to acknowledge that the Mitzvah David's pshat is a bit difficult. That it's a sirach atzi. They're going to be a pot for bathing, and it's just a dugma. It's a dugma of one thing that you use a pot for, but there are other 100 usages of a pot, and that's what we're saying. Edoim with the boss. Behave yourself. If you don't behave yourself, we'll wipe you out. Yeah. In the meantime, if you want to stick around, just follow orders. Follow orders. And do what you're told. Ashlich nali, the next words, osim ibraglehem, chav, that was this, I will cast my lack. I will put them in prison. I will put them in iron, or what do you call those, the foot, the, what you
leg
put,
irons.
Leg irons. Ashlich, I will cast upon them Na'ali a lock. A lock. Osim Biraglehem Chavle Barzel Lisogram Bohem, to lock them up. Now the next words of the Pasuk, Olai Peleshes Hisro Oi Ba'avuri Yoriu Pelishtim Tudu Asmela. So he learns the word Hisro Oi. That's a word that can mean many, many things. Okay, there are many letters there that you can manipulate and you can say are the ikar of the shoresh, and the other words are just here to be a mishamish. It's a prefix, it's part of the grammar, rules of grammar, but Mitsudois learns the ikar word, the ikar shoresh here is teruah, is to shout, is to blow the sound of a shofar, specifically coronation, malchus. And they will blow the trumpet, ba'avuri, on my behalf, Yoriu Pelishtim Teruas Melech, the sound of the shofar, V'tiye HaTerua Lamani, the Teruah will be for my sake, L'kabel Aleim O Malchusi, they will accept me as their Melech. Peleshes, his ro'ohi, they will blow the sound of the shofar, declaring Klali Yisrael to be the king of the world, to be the Malchuso da'ara, to be the authority of this world. Now, right away we see over here three different levels. We see over here three different levels of dominion. When it comes to Moav, they're garbage. Okay, they're like slaves. When it comes to Edom, they're even worse. They're not even free men. They're locked up. They're put in prison. And when it comes to Peleshes, they're free men. Not only they're free, they're not our slaves. They're independent people who go about their lives, but have respect, but have declared the Jewish people to be the leaders, to be in charge. Three different relationships. There are people that are in prison. How many people in America are in prison right now? I think 8 million people. A country, isn't it amazing? A country.
Not enough.
There's a country of 320 million people, and 8 million of them are right now sitting behind bars. Would you believe that's a very big number? 8 million people, 8 million criminals. You know, they say, like, you know, half of the country is on medication, and the other half should be. 8 million are in prison, and the other half.
There was a saying in Mukash, there was another guy, so they used to time up and shouldn't get in trouble. So he says, I'm normal, you guys are crazy. He says, yeah, but you only have enough rope to tie one.
Very good. There's a certain community that basically the government, basically everyone is a criminal. It's very easy. All you have to do is build a fence around it. Just build a, that's why they built the fence around the Capitol.
To keep it in.
Right? To protect society from the danger. So we have over here three different nations and three different relationships. Slaves, people who are worse than slaves. They have to be imprisoned. And then there are people that are free to roam the streets, provided they know who is in charge. There's a lot of depth to that. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi passed a good moyav sir rachatzil. Eshtamesh bohem kisir shol nechoshes hamuchon lirchoitzba. It's the same idea that we learned in the Mitzudos. It's a dogma that they will be our slaves. The nation of Moab will be our slaves. We will do with them whatever we want. Whatever we ask of them, that's what they will do. They will follow orders. Basically, they'll be our slaves. Then when it comes to Edom, we al Edom ashlich na'ali masker shali. Now, I honestly don't know what that means. I prepared this. I don't know what it means over here. What does it say in the Judaica press? Masker shali, word na'ali, is masker, it means a lock. I guess it means what the Mitzvah Stavit says.
Yes.
They will be a lock for me. The Mitzvah Stavit elaborated, it means I will ashlich, I will take chains and use them to tie them up, keep them imprisoned. I'm not going to kill them. Why not? I guess they don't deserve to die. But we have to protect society from them. To restrain them. So, but the grammar of Rashi, I don't know, it just doesn't seem to fit. Masker Na'ali. Na'ali means my, it's just, he's focusing on the word Na'ali alone.
Imprisonment.
And then it says the word, then you look at the pasuk in the context, mashlich, ashlich Na'ali. My chains,
man'ul.
Yeah, as a lock, right, it's a lock, but like the Mitzvah Stavit, I'm going to lock them up. The word Na'ali means I have at home handcuffs. Na'ali, my handcuffs, I have special handcuffs. They were showing on the news, Trump, they have gold handcuffs. Trump, you know, Trump used to be, before he became president, he used to be in every garbage business in the world. Remember Trump steaks? I have a Trump tie. I have at home a tie. I have a beautiful tie. Right. Before he lost money and everything.
Your tie has the name Trump on the label in the back. His tie has the name Trump on the front.
I vaguely remember my mother, Olah Hashem, bought me this tie. It's a beautiful tie. It's a blue tie. It's not a red tie. It's a blue tie, and it has on the back. There's really like a you know, some, it must have cost a lot of money. Trump was in every garbage business. He lost in all these businesses. He was never matzliach. He was never matzliach. He made his money in real estate, but he tried to make money.
And TV.
And you name it, he tried. Remember Trump Steaks. Remember that? Trump Steaks? He said this. Trump's
wine.
Everything you can imagine. And so that, they show Trump handcuffs. Special prison wear.
Why not?
Trump handcuffs. Gold with his, you know, with the logo. Nali, it sounds like coin trash. I have special handcuffs. Beautiful special gold handcuffs. And you know what we're going to do with them? We're going to use them to lock up, to restrain the nation of Edom. Is that what it really means? Something is not right over here. What is in the other Gersois? The other Gersois of Rashi, Nali, Masker, Shali, and over here, Nali, same. The other Gersois say exactly the same thing. All right, I'm not sure. Let's leave it with that. Right now, we'll assume that he's saying exactly the same thing that we learned in the Mishnah David. It means I'm going to restrain the nation of Edom with some type of chains, some type of, like he says, the I keep on forgetting what you told me, the iron. What is
leg
it? Leg irons. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk.
Why did you say it means they're trying to lock me up? When you have a foe, it's not only you fighting them, they're fighting you.
So you want to? I'm going to turn the tables. They tried to lock me up.
I'm going to
turn the tables on them.
I'm going to throw my locks away.
Ashlich nali. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm going to throw. Maybe you're saying good. I'm going to remove the restraints. Houdini.
I'll remove the restraints.
Okay. Maybe that's what it means.
He's saying my locks, you know, not like an earthly lock.
No, but
in
other
words, my lock is going to be a good lock. My lock.
Okay, but I think what Mayor is saying is that until this point in
time. Is not capitalized here.
I think what Mayor is trying to say is that until this point in time, we, the Jewish people, we are living in Golas Edom. Okay, no, that's undeniable. We're living in Golas Edom, and Edom, what has Edom done to us? They have imprisoned us, physically and spiritually. They're in Golas. We're in Golas. So being in Golas means we're locked up. Okay, like we always say, what is the job of the Prime Minister of Israel? It's to keep the American president happy. That's the main. Who said that? Who said that? Who's the one who said that? Netanyahu said that? The job of the Israeli Prime Minister is because we're subject to the goodwill of the King of Edom. So Edom has locked us up. They have limited us in our mobility, our ability to everything in life. So now when Mashiach comes, this that they have imprisoned us, Ashlich, I will break it open. I will undo Nali, this that Edom has imprisoned me, has locked me up, I will now break open. No longer will I be subject to their restraint. Okay, that's an entirely different interpretation than what it says in the Mitzudos. According to the Mitzudos, it means that we will take chains and tie them down, and we will lock them up. And Meir is saying, which I think makes a lot of sense, is according to Rashi, disagrees with the approach of the Mitzudos, and it means that I will break open the restraints. Edom is the nation that has restrained us for 2,000 years, and now finally we will undo those restraints, break them open.
The word ashlich would mean, on the one hand, to throw someone in chains, on the other hand, to cast off.
Exactly. So Baruch Hashem, it was kedai to come today to learn Pshat, Luz Rashi. We have to thank our Mayor Appeldorf.
We have to put it into my Sefer.
Into your Sefer, that's right, right here in the Haggadah. In the Haggadah, where do you get this Haggadah from there? You got to tell me the secret. Okay. Next. Why did you steal from a shul? Why do you have to steal it from Shemes? There are a lot of shuls. Okay, next. Now, the next was Peleshes Hisro Oi. So, review. Mitzudas David said it means that the Peleshes, this nation of Peleshes, they will be free men in the time of redemption, or in the time of David, when David finishes his business with them, and they will declare, they will blow the trumpet to declare David the Melech. They will accept David's authority. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says the word hisro'ohi does not mean a teruah, a shout, a blow of the shofar, an expression of malchus. It means friendship, areya, a friend. The Iker letters, this word, is open, for what's so called. It's open to interpretation. You can say these letters, hey, sof, resh, ayin, ayin, yud, whatever you want. No one's going to be able to hold you hostage on the root of this word. You have here the word the resh and the ayin, which can mean a rea, is a friend. And because of the grammatical form, where it's found, it's the end of the pasuk, so there's going to be a komatz, obviously. And it's connected, it's somoch to the word peleshes, and it's this and it's that. If you're real bucky in grammar, you can manipulate any word, any way you want. And he says that it means here a friend, and it means his chabri al mem shalti, lihios mishubadim li, ki gas me eretz pelishtim, v'chein azo, ki she kivoshon David. Peleshes is the Pelishtim. Pelishtim is just another word for the word Pelishtim. Okay, that's also a Chiddush. Who says Pelishtim is the Pelishtim? Obviously, over here, according to Rashi, it is. And Gas, David, the whole Sefer Shmuel and Shoftim, we're dealing with the Gittim, Gas, and Azah, and all the stories of the nations of the Pelishtim. You have their and they will be conquered. And when they're conquered, their land will be annexed to the main part of Eretz Yisrael, even though really it is part of Eretz Yisrael, it's just going to be now official that it's part of Eretz Yisrael. They will be joined to me, their land will be conquered, and they will become a area, a friend, which in this context means their land will be finally connected and conquered. So far we have two perushim. Now let's look at the Targum. Targum really goes over the top here. Targum says in Pasuk Yud, Be'otis me'ovo'ei itamohu in the bowl, in an otis, like a bedpan. Okay, what's the word for a bedpan in Aramaic? There's a word I forgot the word. A bedpan is called ayin, and something with an ayin and a tes. No, not an abatya, a bedpan. Avit. Avit shalmei raglayim. An avit shalmei raglayim. Exactly. And be'otis... Okay, 1 second. The computer here... Okay, the internet goes in and out over here. I'm on a backup. The shul does not have internet. The shul's internet is broken, temporarily not working. So in the meantime, I'm on a backup plan over here. It's a secret how I have internet. I get into a lot of trouble if I actually tell you how I have internet. I'll tell those who won't know the secret later. But obviously this backup plan is not working too well either. So let me put on my mobile hotspot on my phone. Maybe that will help it a little bit. I'm not sure how we're gonna get by here. I think I'm gonna have to go with my phone because the backup is not working either. I'm connected to another Wi-Fi in the neighborhood over here. That is not too good either. It's not too strong. So let's change to my phone. I'm going to change now to... Oh, here it is. No, I'll connect to MK. Let's try this. 1 second. Connect. I have 3 sources of internet, and none of them work. See that? It's not by shirts. Okay, we're now on a new connection. We're now connected. Let's see what happens if it goes back on. All right, going back. So over here.
Right recording here. In progress.
Okay, Rabbi Yisai, welcome back. We have now a new internet connection. Let's see what happens. Okay, so we have over here the Targum. Says the word otis, okay, be'otis mo avoe, be'otis kama. But let me read the actual translation over here. I have a good translation. 10, it says over here, I trampled on the Moabites. I trampled, I guess a different translation. Abita is the kick, I kicked. Here, this is a good translation. I trampled on the Moabites. My feet were dipped in the blood of the warriors. Sylvie, here, that's the main part I wanted to focus on. I didn't really appreciate it. It says Moav Sirachatsi. So how did he get over here that I trampled? Where is that coming from over here? I trampled. Moav.
I walked in a pot of blood.
So how does the word Be'otis, look at the Targum. The Targum over here starts with the word Be'otis Moavoe Itamoshu Raglai. I wash my feet. Itamoshu. It says over here, blood. Where does the blood come over here? Raglai, my feet. Be'adam, in the blood. In the blood. So the word Adam, he's not translating as a nation. Until now, we learned there are three nations. There is Moav, Edom, and Peleshes. According to the Targum, the way at least this translation presents it, the word Edom is not a nation. It's not a nation. Rather, it means... No, I take that back. He does say... I don't know, what am I reading over here? I'm reading over this Targum. It's not, I'm reading a different Targum over here. I'm a little confused over here. Where is he quoting this from? This is the Targum. I always use this translation. He's saying over here a whole different thing. I trample on the Moabites. My feet were dipped in the blood of their warriors, as in my washing basin. It doesn't say that over here.
Yeah.
No, it does say it. It does Targum say it. It does say it. Okay, the word Ba'adam, he's eating a lot of words into this pasuk that it does not say. It does not say. Because the expression Al Edoim Ashlich Na'ali begins on the third line of the Targum. Okay, so the Targum, there are three words. The first three words, Mo'ov Sir Rachatzi, period. The Targum has two lines of translation for those three words. Two lines. The next words of Al Edom begins on the third line on the page. Al Prikas Kidol Giborei Edom. That's the third line. But the first line is Be'otis Mo'avoe Itam Moshu Raglai Ba'adam Giborehoin Heich Dudei Shizuni.
Yeah, what's
that? As in like. A dude means a pot. A pot of shizuni. Dude means a pot. A pot as in, where was the place? As the words, as in my washing basin. Shizuni means to wash, to clean. A pot of cleaning. So the my feet in the blood of the mighty people, like one washes in a pot, a washing basin. Dude means a pot, a dud. A dud is a pot. Shi zu ni means to clean. So the two words go together, a washing pot. And in the washing pot, there is the blood of the warriors of Moav. And in this pot that is filled with the blood of the slain of Moav, I washed my feet. What does it mean? Be'otis Mo'aboe. So he says, the trampling of Moav, I trampled Moav, period. And then, Itamoshu Raglai, I washed my feet. Ba'adam, in the blood, Gibor Rehon, just like you do so, heich, similar to how you wash in a washing basin. It's quite a lot of interpretation. The Targum is in. You go through a mitzvah and a Rashi, they tell you, they spell it out for you. Over here, the Targum, in a few lines over here, is telling you a very violent conclusion of what's going to happen over here. Moav, first of all, even before we start the Pasuk, we're going to conquer Moav. We're going to conquer, I'm going to trample them. We're going to obliterate them.
It's going to be a bloodbath.
It's going to be a bloodbath. And then, after we conquer Moav, just that one word Moav, he's translating, Moav's going to be slaughtered. And then we're going to collect their blood. And their blood's going to be put into a pot, like a washing basin. And we're going to wash our feet in their blood. In the seer, in a pot of blood, Rachatzi, I'm going to wash my feet. Okay, that's quite a bit of translation. It's a pretty violent translation to describe what's going to happen to the nation of Moav. Then we go to part two in the Targum. Al Edom Ashlich Naali. What does that mean according to the Targum? The next part, I'll read you the English. The next part is, on the nape of the neck of the warriors of Edom, I set my shoe. I'm going to lie them down on the ground. I'm going to step on their neck. Their nape, like the place of the tefillin. Lately, I've been learning a lot about tefillin, the keshel tefillin. You know, it's very, very fascinating. You write a whole sefer just on the location where you put the dalet. The location where you put the dalet of the tefillin is this basically the equivalent place on a bird. The equivalent place is where you do malika. And that place is the place where you tie the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol. And on that place is where you take revenge. It's the place of revenge. Edom is our archenemy. Okay? Al Edom, on Edom, Ashlich Naali, I'm going to step on Edom. Naali means my shoe. According to Targum, it doesn't mean a lock. It doesn't mean an imprisonment, to break out of being in prison. It means my shoes. And now, shal ne'olecha mi'al raglecha. And it means here, I'm going to ashlich, I'm going to take my foot while I'm wearing my shoes and step on them. The Targum goes further. Where are you going to step? You're going to step on their feet? You're going to step on their arm, on their chest, their heart? Where are you going to step on? So he says over here, you're going to step on the perikas kidol. The word kidol means, it means the neck, and the perikas is the nape. The perikas kidol means the nape, which is the place where you put the kesher shel tefillin. The dalid of the tefillin, exactly on that spot, is where you're going to step and kill them. The gibore edom tilokis, I will smite. Misoni, my shoes. My shoes will tickle this. His example words in the English translation are, on the nape of the neck of the warriors of Edom, I set my shoe. Now this Targum is an explosive idea, literally explosive, because it gives now a whole new meaning to Moshe Rabbeinu's question to Hashem, Hareini no es kivodecha. Hashem says to Moshe, and Chazal doesn't say this in Chumash. It doesn't say this. Someone, I was once very embarrassed. Someone said to me, where does it say that Moshe said to Hashem, Tzadik v'ra loy rasha v'toivloy? So it says, it's Pasuk. It says, Harei nos kvodecha. He says, show me. So I took out the Chumash, not so long, a couple of weeks ago, and I couldn't find it. Now looking, it's not in Rashi. Rashi doesn't say this anywhere. This is in the Gemara. This is the Gemara. I forgot where the Gemara is. Which Gemara? Where is the Gemara? I don't remember the Gemara. The Gemara is not in Rashi and Kol. It doesn't quote this. But Chazal, the Gemara says, Hareini notz kodecha. Hashem explained to me, Tzadik v'raloi rosha v'toivloi. And Hashem said to him, no. V'ro'isa es achoroi ufonai lo yeiro'u. And according to Rashi, there does say, what does it mean, v'ro'isa es achoroi? And then I'll show you my back. And then the Pesukim go on, Hashem showed him the Kesher Shel Tefillin. Now, what does that mean exactly? So, I know, obviously, it's subject to a lot of interpretation. But when you plug in to that Pasuk, that Chazal, what we just learned, that the day will come when David says, I will take my foot with my shoes and step on the nape of Edom, it's almost saying, when I destroy and take revenge, Shvoich HaMosch El HaGoyim, then you will understand why it is Tzadik V'Raloi Rasha, Tzadik V'Raloi Rasha V'Toivloi. It's a Zman. I want to understand this. V'Ro'isa Es Achoroi. What's Achoroi? The Kesher Shel Tefillin. What is unique about the Kesher Shel Tefillin? The Kesher Shel Tefillin is munach on the Oref. What is the Oref? Why is the Oref so significant? Why by Malika do you kill the bird on the Oref? You put your nail into that exact part of the neck. Why is the tzitz tied b'diyuk on the Oref? Why is the tefillin, the dalet, on the Oref? Those are three things that come together. What's the significance? Well, here is a fourth element, and it means the elimination of the enemy.
So maybe
Yod Chob Yorifah Yivafos.
Oh, Yod Chob Yorifah, another pasuk. Yeah.
Maybe it is a place of enlightenment, of honor, but to ultimately humiliate somebody, you want to step on that place.
On the place of honor. Why would that part be called honor? Moshe says, I once asked Rabbi Belsky, Zilzal Lev Rachman, who was sitting, I remember, he was sitting in the Shayasim, what does it mean, Am Kishay Oyref? I just said, what is the Oyref? So he goes to me, he's sitting there on his chair, Rabbi Belsky. This is very typical of Rabbi Belsky. He was very, very expressive, and he loved answering questions. He really loved to teach. And he goes, I'm talking to you right now. Let's say you're talking to me, and I get up, he gets up, and he turns around, and I'm still talking, and I show you the earth. Instead of looking you in the eye, you talk to you, you get up and you turn around, and the person now is looking right at the earth, the back of your neck. You know what that is? That's chutzpah.
Right.
So the Olam Taich says, Ki am kisherif, you're stubborn. So he told me, it doesn't mean stubborn. It means you're mechutzafin. You're a nation of mechutzafin. I'm talking to you, and you get up, and you turn 180 degrees. Out of disrespect, I don't want to listen to you. I'm not interested in what you have to say. You're talking to a wall. You turn around 100, when you're talking to a person, you give them your attention. And if you want to be a mechutzif, you get up and you turn around. People complain today, the number one complaint in the world is today, the number one complaint, people say this to my face also, I'm talking to you now, can you please put down your phone and give me your attention? Okay, I've talked to my family, own family members. So I'm talking to them, I'm telling them these stories, and I'm looking at my phone, and they say to me, can you please put down your phone? It's a chutzpah. I'm talking to you, give me your attention. Don't look at your phone when I'm talking to you. It's chutzpah. Mm-hmm. Now, in ancient times, I know it's hard to believe, they didn't have smartphones back in the day. I know people cannot come accept that as a reality, but they didn't. So how then did you show someone chutzpah? If you don't have a phone to look at, you're making the bad face. You turn around 180 degrees. Okay, that's another pasuk. That's another element of chutzpah. The oyref keeps on reappearing in Chazal wherever you turn. You just quote the pasuk, Yodcha bo'oyref oyvech. Who does it say that by?
Yehuda.
So here also it says something very similar. It says over here, you're going to take your shoe. There it says yodcha, your hands. Here it says your nal, your nal. By the way, what is a nal? So we love to translate the nal to mean a shoe. But some say it also means a glove. It says in common Rus. What does it say by Rus? It says, v'zois lefanim b'Yisrael, v'sholaf ish na'aloi v'nosan l'reyu, v'zois hatu'uda b'Yisrael. What does it mean with sholaf ish nala? When you ever go to a wedding and the rabbi takes off his shoe and you give it, it's we're talking about the minik kinyan suda. V'sholaf ish nala v'nosan l'reyu. Did you ever see a rabbi take off his shoe at a wedding and give it to someone and we'll make a kinyan suda. Never saw this. So you're going to tell me that that's what Rus and that's what they did, Boaz did? No, it means, so some of the commentators there, they said the word nal can mean either a shoe, what you use to cover your extremities. Is that the right word?
Extremities.
Either your hand or your feet. So a nal, by Moshe Rabbeinu, shal nalcha mi'al ra, why does it say, it comes to prove the point, shal nalcha mi'al raglecha. Shal nalcha. What's the verbosity? Mi'al raglecha. L'chor Moshe was wearing gloves. A shepherd also has to wear gloves, does he? I don't know, was he wearing gloves? The nal that's on your feet, not the nal that is on your hand. By Boaz, and that makes sense. You take out a handkerchief. A handkerchief, which is something more similar, I guess, you know, it's not mamash a glove, but it's something similar. You see, Hashem did revenge on me.
Why did the lot written on Yoshua?
alpha male raglava, only one. So how could it be a shoe when you want it to meet? That's why there's a lot of aversion on that pussy. But the Malach says shal nalcha instead of raglava.
Deer just says nalcha, doesn't say raglava.
Shal nalcha male raglava.
It's a dust rag. Only one shoe. What does it mean
what
there?
Mean?
You take off two shoes. Yeah, I hear. I don't know.
Well, I said already.
Yeah.
Gives a whole explanation.
Why only?
It didn't mean any. It didn't mean a glove. It didn't mean a shoe. It means to get close to our Kaddish Baruch Hu, you got to strip off your outer layer.
Mechitzanias.
He could really get close. The average human being can't strip away those outer layers completely. So Yeshua was only on a level where he could strip away one outer layer and not the inner layer, the most, you know, innermost ability to get close to what they're.
Very interesting. They're different. Depends on the context. Depends on the words. Depend on the context. Now the next part of the pasuk is the Pileshes. Now what does it mean? His row all. So we had so far two interpretations. Either it meant. That the nation of Pileshes will blow the shofar to Rilashon Teruah. They will declare Klal Yisrael is the authority of this earth. That's the first interpretation of the Sukkot stuff. Then Rashi told us it means a friend, his chabrus. Their land will be annexed to Klal Yisrael. Targum says something different. Targum learns, okay, Ilove Pilishtoe. Ya bivi kinishta di Yisrael. He clearly learns that the subject of the word teruah is Klal Yisrael, not the land, and not the Plishtim, not Pileshes. It means that the Jewish people will shout. We will shout at them, basically we'll declare war against them. We will go to war against them. Mm-hmm. The blow, when you go to war, ancient times, they would blow a shofar. It was a...
Scream.
Would scream.
And so the Plishtim got scared.
Terrified. Sound.
Elohim
by Yericho, when they went to go do battle against Yericho, they walked around Yericho seven times and then they blew the shofar. They blew the shofar. It's part of a technique of shouting noise and blowing the shofar. It's something that you do when you go to war against your enemy. So here, according to the Targum, what he seems to say over here is that against the Plishtim, we will shout. We will shout as a way of saying that we will go to war against these people. We will shake them up. We will terrorize them and subjugate them. So we have over here, basically, everything it says in the Targum is different than what we learned in Rashi and in the Mitzudos David. We have to spend more time learning Targum. Targum has all the secrets over here. And again, one more time, so according to the first interpretation, according to the Targum learns in Moav, what will we do to Moav? We will slaughter them. And we will wash our feet in their blood. Today, you live in such a world today. I read yesterday that I think in Utah, the Senate is trying to pass an amendment that the Bible is censored. The Bible, you're not allowed to bring the Bible into a school. You're allowed to go bring in all this other garbage. But the Bible is a racist document and has to, this is what we're dealing with over here in this country. And even though it's in one county and one someone they won't hear about, you know, the poison is contagious. Moav makes the news. If I know about it, here sitting over here in a little hole in the wall, you can imagine other people know about it. So this pasuk over here is an explosive pasuk. It's telling you the real world. The real world is that the enemies they have to get what they deserve. There's an accountability for rishis for 3,000 years of harm that our enemies have brought upon us, and the day of reckoning is coming. According to the Targum, it's very, very explicit. Moav, what you've done to the Jewish people, your day of reckoning is coming. You'll be slaughtered. Your blood will be collected in basins, and the Jewish people will wash their feet in your blood. That's what it says here in the Targum. That's what it says. Then when it comes to Edom, they will be eliminated. How? They will be thrown on the ground, and the Jews will take their shoes and step on the back of their neck, to kill them. Pileshes, you're next. His ro'ohi, the Jews will line up and shout sounds of war, sounds which initiate a milchama against them. This is the parish of Zion. Let's once we're doing, let's say over here the Malbum. The Malbum, let's see how he says over here. I vaguely prepared this very quickly. The Malbum Pasuk Yud on page 529. Moyav Sirachat Si Yu Avadim Li. Okay, this goes back to really what I told you in the Mitzudas Tovid, that Moav is not going to be eliminated. The seer is nothing more than a mashal, a metaphor for a multi-use, an object, a multi-purpose object that you can use with it anything that you want. And in this case, it means they're going to be our slaves. You avodim li lishtamish b'chem kimoi b'chlei kimo. It's an example, just like you use a pot to wash, to bathe, for bathing. So too, that's only one thing you can use a pot for. So too, the nation of Edom Moav will be slaves. He says the word slaves explicitly. Now, here he goes a little bit further. He goes, this is more like, you know, this is something more than you would expect to see in the Chemes Hanoch. But there, how do you acquire a slave? If a person wishes to purchase an Eved Kenani, how do you make a Kenyan? What's the technique? So do you pick him up? Yeah, you could do that. That's one technique. You can pick him up. Like Hagbah, Kenyan Hagbah. You tell him to get up on a ladder. Or there's such a halach or kesef. Another technique is of Kenyan is he serves. He does an act of avdus. An act of avdus. What is an act of avdus? Is to take off the master's shoes. The master comes home from work, and he sits down on the sofa on his reclining chair, and the slave comes in, and he takes off his shoes. So that's what it is. It says over here, and not only takes off his shoes, he washes his feet. It is a sign of an expression of servitude. So from all of the examples that we have selected to show that they will be our servants, we have selected specifically the seer Rachatzi to demonstrate that they will be servants. You have avodim li lishtamish b'chem kimo b'chlei horechitza. Ki simen ho'eved hu chalitzas no'al rabbi. Ve'hoi lochas keil l'beis amerchatz, and to take his utensils l'beis amerchatz, k'mo shom chazal, period. Umoyav, and the nation of Moav, yishamshu l'rechitza, it means they're going to be slaves. Ke ve'alei edoim ashlech na'ali, that's also, this ties very much into the sugya of a yibum. It's a contradiction. It's a contradiction. How do you do chalitza? There are two things that must be done in order to fill chalitza. Number one is the yavama. She takes off her brother-in-law's shoes, and then she spits at him. She spits at in front of him. So these two things represent mamish mikotze el hakotze. The greatest act of honor you can do for someone is to take off their shoes. There's no greater act of honor. By taking off someone's shoes, it is a demonstration, I am your slave. It is a symbolic expression, I am your slave. You are my master. I hold the world from you. I'll do anything from you. If you tell me to go jump, the question is not will I jump, the question is how high. I will do whatever you want me to do. And then what is the next thing that she does? She spits in front of him. There is no greater act of bezionos than spitting at a person. V'yavia yoroik yorak b'foneho halosi koleim shivas yomim. Okay, so it's a contradiction. First, the Yavama takes off the shoe of the Yavam, and then she spits at him. Manavshach, if I'm your master, why are you spitting at me? And if you're spitting at me, why are you taking off my shoe? It's a mamshach contradiction. It's a contradiction. The whole mitzvah of Yibam is a contradiction. Okay, that's not for now. That's a topic in and of itself. But here, that this is what he explains. That's why we're giving you an example of Moav Sirachatzi. They're going to be our servants. Next in the Malm, page 529, I will cast my lock. He's not translating it. What does it say over here in the Parish HaMilois? In the Parish HaMilois, does he explain what the word Na'ali is? I don't see a translation in the Parish HaMilois. So let's assume that it means I will ashlich, I will send forth my shoe. I don't know. I think. If I'm not mistaken, I think he means it's the same idea that you will tell Edom, take off my shoe. Take off Nali means a shoe. If I'm not mistaken, I think this is what the Radak will say in a second. Nali, according to the Malbim, appears to be a shoe. Ashlich means I will tell them, take off my shoes. I am the master, I am the boss. You are the slave. Take off my shoes. It is an expression of slavery. Not like what we learned in the Mitzudot David, that it means a lock. Not like what it says in Rashi, a masker. Not like what it says in the Targum, that I'm going to step on them and kill them. It means I'm demanding from you to serve me. Okay, then when it says, Olai peleshes his ro'oi, his chabri elai, they'll come near me. Peleshes, according to the Malbim, did not get the brunt of David's anger. Peleshes was David just stopped. David says they will be joined to me. Okay, he did not force them to become his slaves. He didn't go to battle against them. They stopped fighting. Pleasure stopped fighting with David, and that was it. There was nothing. That's where it stopped. Okay, so this is the Malbim again is another interpretation. Let's see one more interpretation. Look at the Radak. The Radak says, "Mayav sir rachatzi kli tashmishi yesh sheesebuchem kiritzani." Like we learned before, give a perush at sir a kli sheyishlech adam by mei rechitzas hakelim. Why did it say a sir normally is a pot? Over here we're referring not to cooking, we're referring to a kli sheyishvech adam bo mei rechitzas hakelim, dirty water, umei tashmisha shel adam, a chamber pot it sounds like, whatever, it sounds like some type of a, you know, cleaning vat. Al Edom Ashlich Nali Sheyu Mirmas Raglai. So the Radak is learning something very similar to what we learned in the Targum. I'm going to step on them. V'chein ha'yikmo shiromar v'yaches moyav v'atihi moyav l'dovid l'avodim v'edom amar v'hi kol edom avodim l'dovid v'chlal edom ho'yo arom v'av alpi sheloi zichoroi ki b'yachad ho'yo b'muchama v'shnem hiko yoyav aviv yishai k'mo shepirashnu in Shmuel. We're not mentioning every single nation over here, but it's self-understood there are more nations that are going to become under the authority of Klal Yisrael. Now next it says, Olai Peleshes Hisro Oi, Derech Gizum Oi Derech Lag. Either this is an exaggeration or it's mockery. What do we mean? Derech Gizum Kamosh Semach Bochur Bialusecha Kiloimar Amvet Vitire Ma Yikre Bachrisecha Oy Derech Lag Kevan Shechniam David Kmoshama Yachtav Resplushim Yachniam Omar His Roi Olai Kmosha Yisi Oise Patrilo Loitaasi Kikvar Nichna Tachtai Vizel Shomar Bamizmach Adam Elzeb Shavasef Achamishi Arei Fleshes Es Roa He His Roa Mitrilo Avalato Es Roa Ani Oleha. Okay, so he's saying over here is something different. Let's go back one more time. Derech gizum or derech lag. Derech gizum is an exaggeration. Kmo smach bochur b'yaldusecha kiloimar v'tire mayikre b'acharisech. Let's see what's going to happen at the end. I'm not sure what that means. I don't know what that means. Remcho, you know what that means? Derech gizum. What is the translation of the word? How is he translating the word to begin with? Friendship? His ro'ohi, or does it mean to break, to shatter? The word his ro'oh also sometimes means to shatter into pieces. Kevan derech lag bleitzonus. Kevan shechniim David k'moshom avyachnav des pelishim vayachniim omar his ro'ohi olai k'mosha yisi. His, you're going to do to me what I did to you, I'm going to do to you. Or you know what? I don't know what this means exactly. Let's, if you look at the Sipurno, says, Hishtabri v'his mogni, means to shatter. To shatter and to melt. Okay, so there obviously there are different interpretations of what this word Hishtabri is. A lot of translations, I don't have clarity what the Radak means, so we'll leave the Radak out. We've done already enough, many, many perushim, as to this pasuk. It's an amazing pasuk, especially when you appreciate that this, according to Rashi, we learned last week, is that this pasuk is written al shem ha'asid, kibbutz goliyos. According to Rashi's second interpretation, we're dealing over here the time of becoming Mashiach, and at the end of days, there's going to be a din v'cheshbon, and every single nation is going to get what they deserve. And we're mentioning here three nations, Moab, Edom, and the Pelishtim, if you assume that the Pelishtim are the Pelishtim. So you're going to ask, who's around, who's not around? So yeah, that's all about big question. You have to go back and say the idea is that a people that embrace an ideology of an ancient nation, they become that nation. So what exactly is the ideology of the Pelishtim? And we can thus identify in the modern world who the Pelishtim would be, or who they are. Not if they have biological descendants. As Rabbi Chol, you told so many times that the Arabs today are not necessarily the biological descendants of Yishmael.
They're definitely not.
So if they're not all of them at least, not all of them, there are some yes, some not, whatever. Not a set of, there are 1 billion people today that identify with Islam. 1 billion. There are 1 billion, they're practically equal. 1 billion
because,
people today.
Because they conquered all sorts of other countries.
They peddle all different. There are 1 billion people today that identify with Christianity, all these different variations, and there are 1 billion people today who identify with Islam, broken down the Sunnis, the Shiites, plus another million of them, whatever they all are. I don't know too much about this. So there are 2 billion. There are 2 billion. What about the other?
The other
6 billion. There are 8 billion people in this world, supposedly, unless that's a conspiracy theory. There are 8 billion people in the world. If only 2 billion, 1 billion identify with Christianity, and 1 billion identify with Islam. So what about the other six? That the Jews? Forget about the Jews. There are only 15 million.
China and India, which is the third of the world.
So India, how many people live in India? How many people live in Hinduism?
Billion.
India?
India. They're about to overtake China in population. They said by May, India will overtake them.
So between the two, it's another 3, right? If you're saying 1.5, 1.5, China is 1.5.
Some Muslim.
All right, but let's talk in generalities. That's another 3. That's 5. Okay, so with that, we still need another 3. Who are you going to identify the other 3 billion people in the world? China's 1.5. China, what do they believe in? They believe in nothing. They're not religious at all. China, what is China? What's their religion? I don't think nothing. Atheists?
They don't have one anymore, right? They don't have a religion.
Nothing. They're just totally blank.
They used to, but not anymore.
They're not at all religious, nothing, no belief in anything. What is that?
No, what you're saying is 1.1 billion is not Christians. Catholic is 1.1 billion.
Yeah?
These Christians are billion also, but not Catholic.
Okay, so now we're up to 6,
Catholic
7, up to 7. Chlesnish, whatever they are. And Jews? 15 million Jews, that's it. 1.5, 15 million Jews in this world. So whatever it is over here, the end of days, there's going to be accountability. So therefore, you have to know Tanakh inside out to have an appreciation to be able to identify the core beliefs, the core principles of Edom, the core principles of Moab, of Ammon, the Pelishtim, and all of these nations. And then when you study societies today and look at their values, their beliefs, you'll be able to, in this generation, this is Egypt. Who today is Egypt? Who today is Egypt? We learned Yeshayah, Rav Shimon Schwab was very, very big into this. The musical, I call it the musical chair theorem. The musical chairs. Every generation, every 50 years, there's a new nation in this world that when you read the Pesukim in Yeshayah, it leaps out of the pages of Yeshayah that this nation is Mitzrayim. Go 50 years later, you read the very same psukim. Oh, this nation is who Yeshayah is referring to when he talks about Mitzrayim. Yeshayah is very big into Egypt. Yeshayah is heavy on Mitzrayim. And it's a mayor of Shimon Shlomi, he writes about this. And he talks about America is Mitzrayim at certain tekufas. In certain tekufas, that's the beauty of prophecy. Prophecy is multidimensional. It all depends on the era, the time, the situation, and the starting point, which unfortunately we don't hear anyone talking about this today because unfortunately we're living in times of extreme darkness and we don't have a grasp on appreciating these things. If we did, people will be learning Tanakh the whole day. They'll be learning Yeshayah and quoting Psukim Yeshayah off their fingers, like in moments, because the psukim are telling you exactly what's going to happen, exactly how to play your cards, and give you an appreciation. But unfortunately, we only are able to look at it in hindsight because we don't really understand these things. But there's no question that even though it's true that Sancheiriv came along and was Mebalbel the entire world, that, and that's la halacha. That's a very critical principle in the world of halacha, because today we take gerim from basically anywhere in the world. Anywhere. Lo yavoi moavi lovi adoimi bekal Hashem ador shalishi. A member of the nation of Edom is not accepted as a ger tzedek for three generations. Maisim bechol yoim. Jews, they are converts from America, from England, from Rome, from Italy, from all over. Why? Someone has got to be a member of the nation of Edom. How are you allowed to take an Italian? Today, do the Batei Dinim accept Italians as Gerei Tzedek? Yes. Why? If there's any part of the world that you would say for sure is the nation of Edom, it's Italy. It's Italy, Rome. Okay. So if someone from Rome decides to become a Ger Tzedek, Bezin should say, not so fast. It says in the Bible, three generations. You have to convert, you have to marry a woman who converted, and then you have a child, and they have to be observant, and then the third generation, your grandson, can marry a Yisraelis. No, we let them convert today, and they can immediately marry anyone they want in Klal Yisrael. They can marry a Yisraelis. How could that possibly be? That's an open violation of what it says in the Torah. And the Doimi may not come into Klal Yisrael for three generations. The answer is, Ba Sancheiriv, Ubilbel kol ha'olam kuloi. Now, by the way, what I told you over here is not so posh, because there are poiskim. I really don't know how far it goes. Even though they're lenient, and we take a gerim from anywhere in the world, not from Italy, because there is a mesorah that the Italians, they went back after Sancheiriv was mebalbel kol ha'olam kuloi, the Edoimim returned back home to their land. And that would mean that someone who's a native Italian would not be permitted to marry a Yisraelis if he converts. I don't think anyone today, I can't tell you anyone today, but I've read about this, is there were definitely at some point in time in Jewish history, Gedolei Yisrael that were mefakfek, that were not pleased with taking Gerim from Italy, specifically Italy. What about America? We live in Golos Edom. You know, every Rashi will tell you we live in Golos and Golos, Golos Edom. Right, America's the Golos Edom. Yeah, really? So how come today the Maisim B'chol Yom, any American, you never heard such a thing that the Bezin's not going to let a non-Jew living in America become a Geret Tzedek and marry a Yisraelis? You never, ever heard of such a thing. Oh, but America's Golos Edom. Well, obviously, not 100%. Okay, there's the world of Hashkafa and there's the world of Halacha. And many times they don't intersect. Hayluchud v'hayluchud. We live in Golos Edom. America is Edom. Every Rashi was going to tell you that. Okay, they're all going to tell you that. That's in Hashkafa, but not in Halacha. Because Gerei Tzedek is the proof of the pudding. So what does it mean then in Hashkaf? It means somehow we've convinced ourselves that we have been able to identify the ideology of the nation, the ancient nation of Edom, and we can say with certainty, I'm just saying funny words now, that America, the Western civilization, is the ideology of the ancient Edomim. Wow. We're mamish geniuses. We figured that out. But that's what they say, no? Ramachol, no? You're not saying you're no? And the Arabs, we've convinced ourselves.
Okay. First of all, there's Europe and there's America, right? Chazal give plenty of character analysis of Edom. False justice, all about externals, all these things.
Sounds like America.
It sounds like the part of America that recently has gained some power, but not for the last 200 years.
Okay. And what about Egypt? Can you identify the ideology of Mitzrayim? Can you identify the ideology of Amalek? Can you identify today the ideology of Amon Umoyav? This is tough stuff. But we have to believe that we can, or that the Melech HaMashiach can, Elyonavi can, because these psukim are prophecy, and it says that in the end of days, Moav will suffer the fate of Sir Rachzi. Edom will suffer the fate of Ashlech Naali. Peleshes will suffer the fate of his Ro'oi. You can't punish them with these punishments depending upon what they mean according to each one of the Mefarshim unless you know who your criminal is. You can identify the criminal. What are you talking about? There are no criminals. So it has to mean in DNA, in the laws of marriage and the laws of Geirus, Hayeluchot, but in the laws of ideology, no, they're still around. They're still around and they will suffer what's coming to them. All right, I really thought we would finish the Mizmor today. There's a very, very important Pasuk. Pasuk Yud Beis is a very, very critical Pasuk in Judaism. And I was naive in thinking they would get to it today. Mirtz Hashem will have to aim to do this tomorrow. Let us take a short break, and then I would like to talk about the sugya of Korban Pesach, even though it seems that it's not relevant today, l'halach l'maisa. But the truth is, there is a lot to learn from Korban Pesach that is practical and is relevant even in the time of Galus. This Baruch of Baruch and Baruch Ezrachi.
Right.
I sat at this table about 20 years ago. My brother got married in Eretz Yisrael. I was in this home. My brother's father-in-law was a Rebbe in his yeshiva, Ateret. So the Shabbos Sheva Brachos took place in his yeshiva. We davened there, and the meals were there. And I have Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi. He was dominant. He was very in control. I thought in Chaim Berlin of Aaron Shechel was like a real takif. There's nothing of Aaron Shechel's shlita. Nothing kineged how he dominated and he controlled every single person there. Stifling. He in this big, big yeshiva, and he's the boss. He's the boss. What?
I cut the mic. He wanted to marry the Finkel's daughter
to become the next Rashi of the Mir.
Finally, one day he found out she got engaged to somebody else.
Commit suicide. Oh, yeah.
So he got engaged to somebody else. And then the first shidduch didn't work out for Finkel. He didn't know what to do.
He wanted to break up with his Kala to go marry her.
Yes, that, my wife knows the whole, they were, you know, all the same thing. They were the three guys. Guys with
them. Oh, I thought you meant for cooking.
Enjoy it. It looks good in the shell.
And he has the other.
Yeah, sure. It was weak. Go ahead. Him and his buddy, he's going to go there.
Three birds.
Now
he's
in Manchester, the daily show. He's not so well about it.
Really? Yeah, I remember. I was, let's say I was 17, 18. No, let's say I was 20.
Who was
doing the sushi once a week?
The 38 year to 13.
No, that's my wife. My wife grew up.
Separation
and whatever? Yeah. Man, I went to a wedding
with his grandmother.
You were at a wedding last night with your, what's it, Lazali?
Yeah,
what's her name?
Lazali
was with Sally Kadush?
No. Safalon was bar punching.
No, I was at a wedding on 16th Avenue. I took all the cars from the woman.
That was
not across Eminence.
This was territory free under MTR or revolved
up with country and
was
the Zali came to the
Southern Court. We may not win today and we may not win tomorrow, but we will persist and we always have the fight of your oppression. If you wish to eradicate the alcoholism from the public life of members of your party, have to do it.
That's why now we're sure we have a shaker. He's there all the time. He gets paid. He does everything that has to, if anything has to be done, he does.
High time.
Is that the whole gills?
The low right.
Having described it there, the speech is very similar to a. rubber goods to me doesn't happen right away.
Oh, yeah, let me tell you, I'm watching this business.
It's not happening right away. That's the end.
Three children.
I'm just gonna put this under the table.
Okay.
I'm gonna take out the microphone. I'm gonna take out the microphone. Maybe, maybe not. I'll see. Whatever. I have to clean. I have to re.
What's
he
gonna
mention?
Mention about the
That's a good example. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't the teacher.
Okay, let's begin. Let's learn about Korban Pesach. Is anyone planning to bring a Korban Pesach?
Yes.
Yeah.
Anybody want?
Planning to bring a Korban Pesach.
Yeah.
Before we figure out, we want to wish Mayor Abeldorf a Tzeischem L'Shalom. We want to wish that Mayor Abeldorf is going away to Eretz Yisrael today, tonight?
Tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning. We want to wish you a Tzeischem L'Shalom. Have a wonderful, successful experience in Eretz Yisrael. And a safe trip. Okay, your trip should be go B'Shalom. You should come back B'Shalom. And have a wonderful experience. Enjoy your children, Nachas. And bring Melech HaMashiach. Okay, anyone else going to Eretz Yisrael? Anyone else going to the Holy Land? For Yom Tov, anyone else going? Florida? Any Floridian? What's it called? All right.
Lakewood.
No, you can't say Eretz Yisrael. That's not yet. Lakewood, Eretz Yisrael. Teira. They had a very good advertisement about come to a certain place. They have shopping and they have shuls and they have conveniences. And then the bottom is here, Flatbush. all of the things you can take in all the advertisements to go to this hotel, this cruise, and then on the bottom they say Flatbush. In Flatbush they have everything. They have all the conveniences. You can stay here also. There's shopping, there's food, there are shuls, there's entertainment. All right, let's learn about the sugya of Korban Pesach. Now, obviously, Bizman HaZeh, we don't have a Korban Pesach. But what we do have, Bizman HaZeh, is matzah.